been talking about the goodness of God. And if you haven't found out yet or realized yet, God is a good God. Look at somebody and tell them God's a good God. Hallelujah. God is a good God. There's a lot going on, folks. There's an awful lot going on. As you know by now, as of yesterday, Israel's at war. They're not playing games, they're at war. The enemy has come in and taken captives, and they're going to try to use those captives to the utmost, believe that. The Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. He says when you see those things happening, you realize that the end is not that far away. Amen. We don't know what's going to happen. Now, if you haven't been keeping up with the news, it appears, listen, one of the things that's happened over there is that Israel has this Iron Dome thing that kind of get rid of missiles that's blown at them. But this time, the enemy was able to cut it off. And the powers to be understand that the only ones that have that kind of technology is Russia. So Israel's not just at war with Hamas, but it's a possibility that they could be at war with Russia. And if they're at war with Russia, then they're at war with China. This thing is bigger than what you realize. All right? Hamas is just a figurehead that the enemy throws out there to make you think that's who you're fighting. But that it's bigger than that. It's much, much bigger than that. Hallelujah. I know that you and I can't stop the war per se in a natural sense. But one of the things that we can do is we could pray. And we can get on one accord. Hallelujah. Today we want to be talking about the fact that God has a plan and a place for you to be. Because in this end times, it's got to become more and more obvious who God is and who's in control and what God wants for us. There's a lot of things happening now, and they're going to escalate. Yes. They're going to escalate. I want to ask all those that's in the sound of my voice just to go on a partial fast this week. Just fast one meal a day. Can you do that? Can anybody do that? Yes. I suggest the evening meal, okay? Because once you eat that breakfast, hallelujah, the game's over, amen? Let's just do this for a week. Starting today, and if not today, tomorrow then for you, if you weren't prepared for that, until next Saturday. Let's get on one accord. In the meal that you miss, use that time to pray. Nobody minds praying, right? Use that time to pray and ask God what would he have you to do? Where would he have you to go? What would he have you to say? What's next that he has for you in your life? Use that time to break yokes that may be hindering you from going forward to the next level. The devil will come and tell you, well, you know you got to eat. Well, yeah, I will. You tell him, I will. I'll eat at evening time. I'll eat. Amen. And tell him if he comes back and bother you again, you'll stop eating. Amen. God is a good God all the time. It's time for us to wake up, folks. It is time for us to wake up. I am convinced that a large percentage of the people that's confessing salvation have not a clue what it's all about. Not a clue. There's a lot of people, I believe, in our culture at least, and possibly around the world, that they just, I don't know, they maybe just want to change their lives, or they want to be better, or they want to do whatever, you know? But it's bigger than that, folks. I was thinking as we were singing these songs about kids in school, middle school, high school, you know, most of them don't have a clue as to why they're there. I know we say the same things to them as parents and as adults. You know, you got to prepare yourself for your future. But you think they're understanding that? They're just trying to get, I don't even know if they're trying, but they're just getting through the day. Now, there are some exceptions. I do agree to that. There are some exceptions. But the masses out there, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue of the sensitivity of the whole matter and the fact that they're going to need to be prepared for whatever their future brings. They're not thinking like that. They're not. And it's the same way with, I think, a lot of Christians. You know, we're not thinking, I'm talking generically now. We're not, as a body of Christ, we're not thinking about, all right, what is God's plan? How does God want to use me? What is the next step in this whole thing? You have to be led by God every day of your life. You have to be led by God every day of your life. If God is not in control, then who is? The time is running out, folks. And all you got to do is really open up your eyes and see what's happening. We have abandoned God as a culture. We have. We've taken prayer out of school. We've taken Ten Commandments out of public buildings. Mm-hmm. We're starting to persecute Christians. You know, it started already. It's just that the persecution haven't got to the level that scares you. So you might as well know what it is you believe now and totally surrender to it. Can I get an amen there?
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Church is not supposed to be for entertainment.
That's right.
That's not saying that you can't have some good times around certain events or anything like that. But church is, you know, as we know it, the worship time is not supposed to be designed for entertainment. We come to worship Lord.
Amen.
And let me tell you something. Whenever you come into the house of God, God has a plan for that day. It's something he wants to do in somebody's life that day. And when we all come together at the same time, we all come together and hear the same thing, something happens.
Amen.
Something happens. And that's what we want. We want whatever God wants to happen in everybody's life to happen. Are you with me?
Amen.
It doesn't matter whether the person behind this piece of wood here, you know, can preach or teach or give you a good sermon or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether the worship team, listen, sings like the angels in the sky. It doesn't matter. We come together because that's what God has ordained.
Amen.
God says, don't forsake the gathering together of yourself. Why? Because he wants to do something.
Amen.
When we're all on one accord.
Amen.
When we're all in the right place. Come on now. When we're all here in the right plan.
Amen.
He wants to do something. And so my thought to you today, even before we really get starting with the message here, is that make up your mind. Come on. You going to do this thing God's way? Are you going to let God lead you? Or are you going to just do things your way? Hello? It is too late, folks. It is too late to be playing church. It is too late. The word of God says God doesn't desire that anybody be lost.
Amen.
He doesn't want none of us going to hell for eternity. So make up your mind. Is God going to be in charge of your life or are you going to be in charge of your life? Let's use this week of partial fasting just to hear God like we've never heard him before. And I believe with all my heart, if you ask God to speak to you during your prayer time, you're going to hear something you haven't heard before. God wants to use us individually and corporately to do what he wants done. Let's get into this message entitled The Goodness of God, A Good Place and a Good Plan for You. God has a good place and a good plan for you. That's good news here today.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God. Let me just review a little bit about what we said the last few weeks because it's important that we get this into our spirit. First of all, we said that God loves every person. And we took you to John 3:16. You know that by heart. It says, for God so loved me, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Which one of you would give me, would allow your firstborn child to die so that I could have a life? Which one of you would do that? I'm not there yet. Amen? That's a lot of love.
Amen.
That's a lot of love. Secondly, we said that you can trust God with your life. And we took you to Proverbs 3 and 5, which says, trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart, and lean not into your own understanding. That's what we're getting tripped up at, folks. We're getting tripped up trying to do what we think is right. Hallelujah. And then we told you that God isn't confused about what's good and what's evil. And we told you to go into Deuteronomy 28. The whole chapter talks about good and evil and the consequences of both. And then we told you that God is love. We took you to 1 John 4 and 8 that says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? Because God is love. Amen. That's what he is. And then we told you that God won't leave you out. Because sometimes we can do things that make us think that we're going to miss out. And we took you to 1 John 1 and 9. And I'm just recapping real quickly. 1 John 1 and 9 says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. He won't leave you out. Amen. He won't lead you out. Then we said that God has plenty of goodness. He's never going to run out of goodness. And we took you to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, it says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. He's not going to run out. He's not going to run out. And then lastly, we told you that God wants us to be living memorials. He don't want you to be one way in the church on Sunday and then a total different way out in the public just because you're trying to please everybody and trying to be friends with everybody. Amen? If folks don't want to be friends with you, listen to me, in your godly costume, then why are you worried about that? Amen? Amen. You're never going to draw people to Christ acting like them. Amen. You're not going to do it. They need to see something different. Hallelujah. And you say, well, if I do, then they won't like me. And my answer is, so what? So what? God loves you. Amen. Are you with me? God loves you. Amen. Oh, I don't know if you got a hold of that. You don't have to worry about you don't have to worry about the pastor or nobody else loving you. God loves you. God loves you. And he the one with the big stick. So if he loves you, hallelujah. All things got to work together for your good. Today we want to examine the fact that God has a good place and a good plan for each of us. And we're going to say some things that we've said in the past already. But we need to get this thing settled in our heart. All right? It's not about what we want. It's not. It's not. It's what God wants. If you had a 2 or 3 year old child coming in your face and say, no, I don't want this, I want that. Now, it ain't about what you want. You're not going to put up with that. You're not. You'll tell them quickly, it ain't about what you want. And it's the same thing with God. Hallelujah. It's not about what we want. It's what God wants. But the good news is that God's always going to want the best for you. He's always going to want something that blesses you. He's always going to want something that elevates you and puts you in a different position so that you'll always have more than enough. First of all, let's look at the fact that God has a good place for you. We need to settle that thing once and forever. Are you with me? I told you before that there's only one church. Amen. There's only one church. There's a bunch of little congregations. We can't all fit in the same building, but it's all little congregations that God has put leadership over. But there's only one church. And you don't get to decide which church you're going to or which congregation. Let me just say that. We're used to calling all of this the church. But you don't get to decide that. You don't. You don't. You really don't get to decide that. You don't. Well, my cousin go over here. I don't care where your cousin go. Now, I'm telling you something because you got to be in the right place at the right time for the right reason. if you want the blessings of God. God has a good place for all of us. Read the Bible and you will see that land has always been a land or position or place has always been important to God. See, even though God owns all the places, all the things, all the places you think you want to go to, he does not need it all for himself, but he owns it all. We never think about it like that way. God owns this congregation. God owns the congregation down the street. Listen to me. I think I'm talking to the wall. Now, think about this as a business sense. If I own 25 grocery stores here in town, and I hire the people that do the hiring, if I own all the stores, don't you think I got a right to say who work in each store? Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
You don't have a right. I don't have a right to say, all right, I'm going to be a part of this congregation. No, that's not your decision. I know somebody saying, where are you coming up with that? I'm not. It's always been God's plan. But that's why we have a lot of people in the wrong place at the wrong time. It's always been his plan. Always. Let me just rehearse my story again. I love to tell my story. Ain't nothing else to tell. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
I told you before, if I tell your story, you get mad. When I got saved in Guam in 1980 in the middle of the summer, I had religion in my life before I got saved. I had the keys to a brand new sanctuary that just got built. I was a leader over a congregation even though I wasn't a pastor. But I wasn't saved. I wasn't saved. I told you before, our whole congregation got drunk every Sunday night. That's who we were. But when I got saved, then first thing that happened after I left the island of Guam is God sent me to the church that he wanted me to go to. My former pastor in California had given me a name of a pastor in Norfolk. He said, when you get to Norfolk, you go to that church. But when I got there, at the bus stop, I met a young man who didn't have a car, nothing. He was taking a bus, and he said, hey, he says, we're having a service next night or whenever. And God spoke to my heart. He said, go to that service. And go to that service. And I went. It was just right down the street from me. I went to that service. And there was nothing appealing about the place at all. The building was run down. The grass looked like it needed to be cut. There was nobody in there but a handful of old folks. And the pastor was really dying. I didn't know it at the time, but he was really dying. I'm saying, why? Choir, they didn't really have a choir. You know, the couple of young people that they had in there, and I say young, maybe 30, 40 years old, they would get up and sing some old hymns or whatever. There was nothing appealing about the place to my flesh. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
But how many of you know God kept me there? I know a good 4 years. A good 4 years in that place. And I wound up being the unofficial leader of the thing. Probably because of my nature or whatever. In all the programs, I was in charge of all that stuff. But I also was the guy that cut the grass. I also was the guy that cleaned the toilets. I also was the guy that mopped the kitchens. Are you with me? Are you with me? Now, would I have chosen that place in the natural? No way. No way. No way. And when the pastor died and the other guy came in who became the new bishop, he came in, I didn't like him and he didn't like me. So that was my cue. The peace was gone. The peace was gone. And I went to him and I told him, I said, listen, Bishop, whatever, you know, I said, listen, I think I got to go. He said, all right, that's fine. In other words, I think so too. And so I left. Now, there's a reason I'm telling you this story, because it's too late. It's too late to play church. It is too late. And then when I left that church, I didn't really have a church, because you got to understand, I was really still a relatively new Christian. I had been saved for about 4 years at that point in time. But I went to a church where I had my son in preschool. We were sending him to preschool at this church. So we say, well, we're sending him to preschool, we might as well go to that church. But I went to that church for a few weeks, and listen what happened. The pastor called me in. He said, well, what's your background? He said, what's your church background? And I told him about the church I had just left, because that was really the only church really that I had been associated with as a Christian, as a born-again believer. He says, you know, this may not be a good fit for you. Now, can you imagine a pastor telling you that? He said, this may not be a good fit for you. Now, he wasn't nasty. He wasn't nasty, but he saw something that I didn't see. And he says, you might want to gravitate toward, you know, a church that's like this, like that, like that. And I just took his word for it, and I wound up at Rock Church. I wound up at Rock Church there in the prayer ministry and just doing things. But I realize now it was God's leading and divine and directing me. You can't just be anywhere, folks. You can't, because God has a plan for you. He does. And it was at Rock Church where I met my connection to a Ahoskie. And that's what God was doing in the first place, amen? But if I had not followed God's will and wound up at Rock Church, I wouldn't wound up in a Ahoskie.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And then one thing led to another. Why are you telling me this? I'm telling you this so that you can understand God has a place for you, first of all. He has a place for you. You say, well, how long will I know I got to stay there? When the peace leave, you leave. You ain't going to hear that at no other place. You ain't going to hear that at no other church. But when the peace leave, you leave. And it doesn't mean you have to leave mad and nasty or nothing like that. But it's just time to make a transition. That's all. God is trying to get you somewhere. God knows exactly where you're going at. I told you the stories about the house we live in now. We're living in a house for 30 years. Sister Eve and I looked at a whole bunch of houses. Hallelujah. Whole bunch of houses. It didn't never work. But it was when time for us to settle in the house, God put it in Sister Eva's heart and her mama's heart, but passing by the house that they liked the house. And then God sent a minister that I knew to tell me, he said, I saw a house. I think you'll like it. And it was the same house. It was the same house. Now, what's the odds of that happening? God is saying, I want you on that corner, and I want you there. Listen to me. I want you there until I tell you to leave. And it's been 30 years. We need to wake up, folks. We need to wake up. You're not going to hell. If you're saved, you're not going to hell, but you might miss out on a lot of blessings simply because you're trying to do things your own way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Recently, Sister Eve and I were talking, and we're talking about the possibility of moving to a smaller house, but we can't do that. We don't have that kind of control. We can't just say, I'm going to move out of this house and go get another house. Financially, we could probably do it, but we can't make those kind of decisions anymore. God has a place for you. Understand that. Hallelujah. God has created a certain place for his family, and he wants each member to have his part of it. God has a part for you to play. One of the first things he talked to Abraham about was a place. The very first thing he talked to Abraham about was a place. In Genesis 12 and 1, it says, here's the scripture. He says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of your country, move from where you're at, and from your relatives, and from your father's house. Now you got to understand, at that time, people didn't do that. They all stick pretty much together. And he said, I want you to move into a land that I will show you. I will show you. I bet if I was a betting man, that I bet that most of you that winds up here at the Ahoskie Christian Center for any length of time, you didn't sit down and plan to go to Ahoskie Christian Center. But God had a plan. Abraham just couldn't go anywhere. He had to go to a place that God had prepared for him. Oh, if we can wake up this morning and understand the goodness of God and the fact that he has a special place for you. Hallelujah. Our Sunday mornings is a time for us not to come and be entertained. It's a time for us to come into worship. It's a time for us to fellowship with each other. It's a time for us to be discipled by God, not just a person standing behind this podium, but by God. The person standing behind this podium might have an outline to share with you, but all of a sudden God puts something else in their heart all of a sudden to say to you that'll make a difference in your life. There's something about everybody being on one accord and being totally submissive to the will, the way, and the word of God. Hallelujah. But what God was telling Abraham, I got a place for you, Abraham, a place of wealth, a place of health, and a place of happiness. Hallelujah. A place of wealth, a place of health, and a place of happiness. That's what he was telling them. When the Jews were taken captive and forced out of the land of Israel, the Lord promised to bring them back to that place and let them live forever. Amen. We're experiencing that. Let me tell you something. No other group of people have left their land for a couple of thousand years and come back and say, this is my property. No other people on planet Earth. You know there must be a God. Amen. God even promised that when the Israelites returned, the wilderness would blossom into something beautiful and bountiful. Not the good farmland, but the wilderness. And if you know anything about the history of Israel coming back and reselling their land, you know that they've taken a desert and made it blossom. Amen. They didn't do it. God did it. Your God is a good God. Your God, hallelujah. When I'm talking about a place for you, I'm not just talking about a place of worship. I'm talking about a place of a vocation. Are you with me? A place of business. A place of socializing. God controls it all. You may be on the job for 15, 20 years, but all of a sudden you don't have a peace. You may be on that job 2 or 3 years, but then the peace leaves. Hallelujah. You got to go. Amen. You got to go. Oh, man, I wish God, somebody had told us that at day one, and we wouldn't have wasted all this time trying to do our own thing. Let me take you to Isaiah 35. This is God prophesying to the Israelite about the place where he's already set aside for them. Hallelujah. See, you don't know what God is doing. You don't know what God is doing here. You don't even know why he established a Hasid Christian Center. I don't know. You don't know. Amen. But in the future, we will see. In the future, we will see. God may have raised all of this up for one person that he wants to use in the future to do great and mighty things. You just don't know. Amen. Look at verse 1, Isaiah 35. He says, God is prophesying. He said, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. He says, the glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. We are seeing that in our very day. See, I know most of you haven't kept up, most of us haven't really kept up with the resettlement of Israel and the reestablishment of that country and all that's been done. But had we done that, we would have realized that God brought them back after 2,000 years and it was just desert land out there. But now, hallelujah, if you ever get a chance to visit Israel, your eyes and your mind will just be amazed at what God has done through those people, just like he said he would do in Isaiah 35. Amen. Whatever God's plan for you, come on now, God has sent you to a place to bless you tremendously. Amen. Don't you dare depend on, hallelujah, on anybody else. There might be some of you that listen that have a boss. If you have a boss, say amen. Amen. There may be some of you that have a boss. Listen, you're not dependent upon your boss. If God sent you to that place, God has a plan for you. Amen. He has a plan for you. How many of you know all the time you don't agree with your bosses?
No, you don't.
God has a plan for you. You need to hang on to that. You need to tell yourself every day, I'm in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing.
Amen.
And in the fullness of time, God's going to do what he brought me here to do. God is just so good all the time. God wanted the Israelite to actually walk in their dreams. And he wants you and I to walk in our dreams.
Amen.
Some of the things God put in your heart as a child, now he wants those things to start manifesting themselves. Just hallelujah. Just start manifesting themselves. Hallelujah. I remember as a child, I can just dream. I dream of just having a lot of different businesses just out there. I don't know why and where that come from, but I just dreamed it. You know, I just dreamed of owning a lot of property or whatever. But my motives was wrong. At 19 or 20, I owned 3 houses out there. People would come into my community asking me to buy their house, even though I didn't have no money to buy their house. It was something that God was doing there.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing there. And I believe God put that dream in my heart for what he's doing even now through the Hasse Christian Center and through you and through me and through all of us.
Amen.
I believe that. And I believe he's placed something in your heart. And you'll be able to walk in those dreams once you let go and let God be in lead of your life. Hallelujah. He told the prophet Elijah to go to a certain place. And I'm just trying to make a point here. We need to get out of our way of thinking. And don't, listen, I don't care. God may send you somewhere for 40 years. Don't get to the place of saying, I've been here too long. No. 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 Once again, if you can imagine a 3 or 4 year old and you punch them or whatever reason, you tell them to sit in the chair or sit in the corner, you know, and they telling you, well, I've been here a long time. No, you just sit there. You sit there till I tell you to sit there. Most of the time, the child's going to do it. That's what we should be like. Whatever God tells us to do. Whatever God, I'll be trying to tell God what to do. God says, shut up and sit down, boy. We got to be content. But we won't be content unless we really understand what's going on. God has a plan for you.
Amen.
And the Bible said, listen, 1,000 years is just like one day to the Lord. So he's not in a hurry. Whatever he's going to do, let him do it. So he told Elijah to go to a certain place. Let me take you to 1 Kings chapter 17, brethren. He said to Elijah, he said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward. You know the story there. And he said, hide yourself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. Now look at this last part. And I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Hallelujah. I have commanded the ravens. We know how impossible that is. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. That's why it's so important to be in the right place at the right time. Some of you that's been right here in this midst of this ministry for a while, God's blessed you. I don't need nobody to tell me that. God has blessed you. He's blessed you. He's blessed all of us. He's blessed you. Especially if your mind and your motives is right. Hallelujah. See, when you're in the place that God has designated for you, everything you need in life just comes to you.
Amen.
God is a good God. Hallelujah. And he has a good place and a good plan for you. Are you with me?
Amen.
God is a good God.
Yes, he
is. God is a good God. God is a good God. He's a good God. Oh, but we need to have our eyes open to what this whole thing is all about. Hallelujah. The devil will tell you if you get holy enough. Hallelujah. I have to get holy enough. All I got to do is hear and obey. Just hear and obey. How hard is that? Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. Hear and obey. God tell us to buy this building when it was financially impossible to do. He told us to buy several other buildings when it was impossible to do. He told us to start schools, to start child care, start the family resource center. We didn't start that, but we took it over. He told us to do all these things, and in our mind, how are you going to do them? He told us to open up a thrift store. Well, none of us ever ran a thrift store. How are we going to do that? But that's all the part that we have in this thing, is to hear
and obey.
Everybody say hear and obey.
Hear and obey.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Me and Jesse, hallelujah. I'm hoping your eyes are being open to the reality of what God wants you to do. He has a good place for you. Hallelujah. Follow that. Make sure you're in the right place. Hallelujah. Don't hang on to anything that the piece of leave has left you already. It's only God trying to get you to a certain place. Hallelujah. You know, God is a good God all the time. I told you how God works, and I'm going to tell you again. What God will do, he'll tell you to do something, and he'll give you the peace to do it. And if you don't do it, listen, and it's because of his love for you. If you don't do it, what he'll start doing, he'll start rumbling the waters. He'll start making things difficult for you. And if that still don't work, if you're still stubborn enough to do your own thing, he'll tear you away from that situation. And when he tears you away, then you leave behind bad relationships. You don't need to do that. All you need to do is follow God the first time. Follow the peace the first time. So in addition to having a good place for you, God has a good plan for you. Oh, I love it.
Amen.
And he's not dependent upon your intellect. He's not dependent upon your status in life. He's not dependent upon your education. He's not dependent upon anything. He has a plan. Jeremiah 29:11 says this. For I know the thoughts, this is God talking. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, and thoughts of peace and not of evil. Why? To give you an expected end. Who expected it? God expected. You may not have expected it, but God expected it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 I can't speak for you, but for myself, I never thought that this is a position that God would be using me in today. I mean, I never valued it at all. I mean, it just never crossed my mind. This wasn't my plans. If I had my way, come on, I'd still be struggling out there trying to build all this stuff up and make a bunch of money and stuff like that. But how many of you know, listen, when you're in the right place, following God's plan, you're going to have more than enough.
Amen.
You're going to have more than enough anyway. It's just that you don't understand it. You can't see it. See, you have to believe that God has a plan for you or you will never be able to walk in it. Some folks say, well, I'm too old. I'm undereducated. Nobody knows me. I'm a nobody. None of that stuff matters. Absolutely none of it matters. Some people think that preachers are the only ones who are called by God. That's not true. The fact is that God has a plan. God has a place. God has a responsibility for each one of us to do.
Amen.
Every single one of us. Every single one of us. Every single one of us. If you had a house with 12 kids in it, listen, as a parent, you know the weakness and the strengths of each one of those 12 kids. You know where to put them and how to use them in that house. Can I get an amen to that?
Amen.
It could be 12, it could be 24. It don't matter. As a parent, you know each one of those children. And you're not going to assign one of those children to do something that you know is just not them. But within that 12, there's somebody you're going to assign that you've already prepared or been prepared somehow to do that. God knows what's inside of you. He knows what he's prepared you to do. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So don't think, you know, in our culture, you know, God has set, you got to have a leader everywhere. It's just business, whatever. You got to have a leader, somebody directed. If all of us was a leader, you'd have mess. You'd have chaos. That's the only reason that person is at the pulpit or the person has a title of pastor is because God has assigned them the leader.
Amen.
That's all that is. It doesn't mean that they know more or they're better or anything else like that. God has a plan for you. Hallelujah. God is calling for people in every walk of life. He may call some to be doctors, some to be lawyers, some to be painters, some to be writers. He has a calling, but he has a purpose for that calling.
Amen.
You see, if we're sensitive to God, he will lead us by the Spirit. And I've been telling you, he'll lead you by that peace, and that's how the Holy Spirit does this, through the peace. Follow the peace. And that peace will be according to his plan that he's laid out for your individual life. Oh, I wish somebody would understand this and believe. Not, you don't even have to understand it. Just believe it. Just start believing this thing. But see, the devil's job is to make you think you're doing all this. You're in the position you're in because you're so smart or because you've got these great skills that nobody else has. No, you're in that position because God put you there. Hello? You're in that position because it serves God's plan.
Amen.
You're in that position because God has prepared you for that position for his overall plan. Not just for you and not just for me. not at all. Hallelujah. If we are sensitive to God, he will lead us by that peace. I keep saying it over and over and over. Follow what? The peace. Follow the peace. It took me a long time to learn that. But follow the peace. Follow the peace. If most of us heard an audible voice from God, it'd probably scare us. We probably wouldn't even get out of bed. You probably think it was some sort of boogeyman talking to you or something. I don't know. So God, what he does, he just gives us the peace. The peace. Hallelujah. You are divinely designed to fulfill the good destiny God has planned for you. When you were born, God placed certain abilities, certain dreams, and certain desires within you. Why? That you would, that desires and stuff to help you, equip you for what God wanted you to do. God didn't just decide what your plan was. He said, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew who you were.
Amen.
You came to planet Earth with a plan, but that plan gets all diffused by the world and the world's way of thinking. And you don't see it. See, you'll never reach it until you start hearing God's voice and then following that peace that he gives you. You'll never get there. And that's a tragedy. A lot of good people, listen, a lot of good people never get there because they never learn to hear God's voice. Hallelujah. I told you about this gentleman that I knew right here in this town. Had a big position in a local church. Actually, he was one of the leaders of that local church. And he approached me one day and he said, Dan, he said, you don't really believe all that church stuff, do you? Now, he really caught me off guard when he said that. All right? I say, yep. I sure do. I sure do. And I found out his life was just a mess. The devil had just messed him up. But you'd be surprised at the number of people that are confessing salvation but just don't believe anything and God's not controlling them or leading them or guiding them any kind of way. But that's not going to be you.
Amen.
And that's not going to be me. Amen?
Right.
Hallelujah. Even while you were still a sinner, God, these things that God had put inside you were still there. They were just still there. It was just still there. I'm convinced that God has called me to be a teacher. And he's given me a lot of opportunities to do that in my life. You know, in and out of the church, he's done that. But that's not something I created. That's something that he decided was going to be my role as I go. So I live life as a teacher. I just do that. We want everyone to have the opportunity to live out God's wonderful plan for them right here on planet Earth and into eternity.
Amen.
That's what this whole thing is all about. That's what the devil's been working against us from birth, trying to keep us from God's plan.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But until you get saved and totally surrender to God and start trusting him and stop trusting yourself, you'll never reach that. You'll never reach. Hallelujah. 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 You know what God just said to me? Listen, what God just said to me in my spirit, God said, listen, right here, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, God is talking to you. Listen to me. God says there's some people right here in this building that God has planned and designed for them to be in national leadership. National, I'm not talking about county leadership. I'm not talking about state leadership. I'm talking about national leadership. Now, I don't know if that's in or out of the body of Christ, but national leadership to do some things that will affect people nationally. And I can hear some people say, well, that ain't me. It's God. No, it's not you. It's God. It's God. It's God. I equate the Ahasi Christian Center as a special training camp. As a special training camp to prepare certain men and women to take a responsibility at a later date. Hallelujah. Part of God's goodness is that he is a good planner.
Amen.
He's a good planner. He's a good planner. Hallelujah. He's a good planner. He's a good planner. Think about where he's brought you from. Now think about it just for a moment. Think about where he brought you from. For those of you that's up in age 40 years ago, could you have seen yourself where you are today?
No.
He had it in the plans all the time.
Yeah,
he had it in the plans. Everything that God has planned for the earth will come to pass right on time. Right on time. Right on time. Right on time. Hallelujah. Right on time. Right on time. Right on time. God is a good God all the time. See, a lot of us, we're talking God, but we don't believe it. If you believe it, let him be God in your life. Seek his guidance and direction because he's got a good plan and a good place for you.
Yes, he does.
God never fails and he's never late. Well, I can hear somebody saying, listen, I hear you, preacher, but I know, listen, I know it's too late for me. I've just messed up too bad. Now, I know a whole bunch of folks need to be here to hear this part. Some people say, it's just too late. I just can't. I just created too many sins and did too many wrong things. Let me tell you something as we close this out today. It is never too late. It is never too late. Some folks say, well, I'm just too old. Too old for who? Moses wasn't even called till he was 80.
Amen.
Too old for who? You're not doing the work anyway. God is doing the work.
Amen.
Too old for who? 1 John 1 and 9, you know that scripture says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to do what? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Not some, but all. I tell you, the day I got saved, listen, it was early morning after midnight, but when I got saved, the very next day, I was cleaned up. Listen, no nothing, no training, no classroom, no counseling. The very next day, the very next day, God had cleansed all that stuff out of me. Are you with me? Nothing I did. At that point, listen, at that point, I drank every day. Every day. Had the money to do it. I did it. But the very next day, I didn't want to drink.
Amen.
Don't you know something had to cleanse that out?
Amen.
And God knows all the other crazy stuff I was doing. Amen. But the very next day, all that stuff was gone. It was gone. So don't for a minute sit there and say it's too late for you. No, no, no. It is not too late. You may be thinking that you missed it because of the ungodly things that you've done in the past, but no, you haven't missed your chance. All you have to do is make a turn. Let me tell you a secret that a lot of people don't know. God allows U-turns. You hang on to that one. See, you go to a certain place, you see a sign, no U-turns. Amen? But God allows U-turns. Hallelujah. 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 God allows U-turns. He allows that. He allows that. Hey, yeah, that's allowed. Just go ahead and turn around. We're going another way now. No matter how much trouble you've gotten yourself into, God has a plan to get you out. When anybody turns back to the Lord, he starts moving them back into the original plan that he had for their lives. Because he had a plan that the moment, listen, he had a plan before you were born. He had a plan for you. You're just not following that till you get saved. It's not just about salvation. It's not just about escaping hell. It's about getting into the plan. Amen. Getting into place and into the plan that God has for you. Are you with me? And don't you dare get weary of waiting on God. Don't you dare. Hallelujah. You got to get this mindset. Hallelujah. You got to have the same mindset Sister Eva and I have about this house. We say, look, the great four-bedroom house. Ain't nobody here but me and you. Sister Eva said, why don't you call somebody to live? No, I ain't doing that. Are you with me? Hallelujah. I ain't doing that. I'm laughing because I thought of the time when I had to go buy my daughter a brand new set of luggage. I said, this luggage is for you. So what am I going to do with the luggage? The luggage is for you. Pack it. Don't get weary of waiting on God. Amen? Don't get weary. And we've come to conclusion, Sister Eve and I just share that. Say, okay, we'll be in this house until we die, if that's God's plan. I walk with God enough now to know that when he's ready for me to move, he'll just bring another one and take away the peace for that one. That's just the way he works. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. If you stay sensitive and responsive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, you will find that God is always, and I mean always, talking to you. You don't have to figure out nothing. Just ask him. You have not? Because you ask not. Hallelujah. He's always drawing you into his plans. That's why we ought to get up first thing every morning and tune into him through how? Through prayer and through Bible reading. God knows where you need to be. He knows what you need to do each day to stay on track. He knows that. He knows the place and he knows the plan. Seek him and you'll see him. You'll see him too. Seek him. Seek him. I don't care what you've been doing until now. If you haven't been in the plan of God, listen to this. You haven't done anything yet. You haven't done anything yet. Amen. Nothing can compare with God's plan for your life.
Amen.
God has a place and God has a plan.
Amen.
That's the goodness of God. Of God, of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we do thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your place and your plan that you have designated for all of us, individually and as a group. We don't fully understand, Lord God, what this Hosky Christian Center thing is all about, but we know that you have a plan. Hallelujah. And we submit ourselves to that plan right now, Lord. Show us individually, Lord, what you would have us to do. Now, you brought us here, Lord God, to this particular congregation for a reason. Either we had something for it or it has something for us. We yield ourselves, Lord God, to your plan. Guide us in your plan through the peace that you bring or you take. Now, Lord God, bless your people. Bless your people. Hallelujah. Open up our eyes to the goodness that you have, Lord God, to the fact that you do have a special place and a special plan for us. Hallelujah. Use us. Use us mightily. In Jesus' name.